Welcome to our children's moment. If we have anybody kindergarten through fifth grade who want to come up and have a seat. Don't think I see anyone new this week. Yeah, this is the part where I kind of come up with something to connect to the sermon in some way, right? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This week, I have chosen a banana. Now, this banana is a little worse for wear. Yeah, I know. This banana has been chosen by me to finish its life as banana bread. Right. This is kind of beyond where I like to eat them, right? My wife likes them a lot greener than this. I kind of like them more like this one. Right, this one's a little less brown. It's less squishy. This is the point that I like to choose my bananas for a snack. And in fact, I might eat this later. We'll see. Not in the sanctuary. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so this one is going to need some extra, a little extra, right? I'm going to mash it, mix it with some flour, some various things like chocolate chips and stuff like that. In order to make a nice bread with it, this one, it's kind of a little bit more ordinary banana, and I'll just eat it. These bananas have been chosen by me for different purposes, but nonetheless are very usable. So you kind of see where I'm going with this, right? We are all chosen. We're all chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. Everybody's chosen. God has chosen all of us. No matter where we are in our various lives, he has chosen us, and he's chosen us for a purpose. And some of us are going to need some extra stuff. Some of us may not, but we're all chosen for a purpose. And it says in Ephesians that we are chosen by God for a purpose because he loves us. And he's chosen us, and in Christ Jesus, we can be in his will and be useful to him. We're all chosen. And no matter what's happened in our life, you know, no matter what's going on, what we've done, he wants to use us and to help spread his love, right? That's the whole purpose. That's what his will is that he wants everybody to be a part of the family of God. And he's chosen us to be a part of the family of God, and he wants us to help other people know that they have been chosen to be a part of the family of God. So as we start this new sermon series about being chosen, know that we are all chosen, different purposes maybe, or different parts of our different experiences, whatever it might be, but we're all chosen, no matter, you know, what we look like or what our use is going to be in the kingdom of God, we are chosen. All right. And I'm going to turn over to Fred as we head back to junior church.
Thank you, brother. Never quite know for sure what Ben's going to come up with. That's pretty cool. I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, if you will, please. Mark 3, verses 13 through 19 be our text today. We are starting a new summer sermon series, Christ Chosen. Christ Chosen. And today we're going to be taking a look at 12 nobodies, okay? Looking at 12 nobodies. Bring up that next slide, please. Have you ever felt that God cannot possibly use somebody like you in his kingdom? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you feel that way, that you're just not intelligent enough or good enough or talented enough to be used by God. It could be that you feel like that you just can't fit in with the crowd. You know, you just don't fit in. You don't have your college degree. You have barely made it through high school. Maybe you didn't even graduate from high school. And so you think, you know, how can God use somebody like me? I'm not smart enough to do anything. Or it could be that you have a past that you're not proud of. You've served time in jail. Or maybe you've gotten pregnant out of wedlock. Or you are a recovering alcoholic or a recovering drug addict. Or maybe you're still struggling. You're still struggling to overcome a certain sin in your life, but it's so hard. You're trying. You really are trying, but it is so hard. And because of your ungodly past or your present struggle with sin, you feel that God surely can't use somebody like you in the forefront of this kingdom. And so you just think it's better just kind of take a back seat. You know, just take a back seat. Maybe you are just different from other people. You don't relate well with people. You're shy. You don't have many friends. You try to fit in with everybody, but you just don't. You just can't. And you feel like that because you are so different from everybody else that God cannot use a nobody like you. Well, the good news is, church, that God uses nobodies. Amen? I want you to say this with me. God uses nobodies. And I'm thankful that He does, because I would not be up here preaching to you this morning. You know, God uses nobodies. Now, God has always used nobodies. Misfits, rejects, ordinary men and women to fulfill His purpose. This was true in the Old Testament, it's true in the New Testament, and it's even true today. I mean, the world into which Jesus came and in which He lived was just like ours. It was a world full of people. People with flaws, people with peculiarities, people with questionable past, people with sin and sin scars. And because of Jesus, people with futures. I mean, these are very real people, and they played a prominent role in the action-centered ministry of Jesus Christ. And now this brings us then to Christ's chosen, His 12 apostles. I want you to read with me Mark 3, beginning with verse 13. Jesus went up to the mountainside and called to Him those He wanted, and they came to Him. He appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach and to have authority over to drive out demons. These are the 12 appointed. He appointed Simon, to whom He gave the name Peter, James, the sons of Zebedee, his brother John. To them He gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. John MacArthur, in his book, 12 Ordinary Men, had this to say about these 12 men. They're not the highest and the noblest and the best. They're not the most educated, the most highly skilled, the most gifted. The truth is, they basically are distinguished by one thing, that is that they are ordinary. They have that in common. Not one of them is renowned for scholarship. None of them had a track record as an orator or some kind of theologian. They were outsiders, total outsiders from the religious establishment of Jesus' day. They didn't have any particular natural talents. They don't appear to have any particular intellectual talents. They weren't highly educated. They were, on the other hand, prone to mistakes and misjudgments and misunderstandings and bad attitudes and lapses of faith and bitter failure and argumentativeness, and no more so than their leader, Simon Peter. And Jesus remarked that they were slow learners and spiritually dense. In other words, they were blockheads. Christ's chosen apostles were so ordinary that 7 out of the 12 are not even mentioned again in the Gospel of Mark. This is it. Mark lists their names, but he doesn't write anything about them. You know, in fact, most of the 12 that are mentioned that we just read, most of the 12 are not hardly mentioned at all in all 4 Gospels. And I decided to preach an entire summer series on these guys, okay? But among all the crowds of people who followed Jesus, He chose these 12. These 12. Because He saw something in them that they couldn't even see in themselves. You know, now, this wasn't, some rushed, haphazard decision that Jesus made. In fact, Luke records in Luke 6, verse 12, that Jesus, before choosing the 12, that Jesus spent all night in prayer. All night long in prayer. Jesus, didn't take this task lightly. He sought the guidance from his heavenly Father before he chose these men to be his apostles. And after calling these 12 by name and appointing them as apostles, Mark records what their responsibilities would be. So let's take a look at these responsibilities. Number one. Number one, if you're taking notes, is to be with him. Okay? Number one is to be with him. Now, Jesus, didn't want these men to merely tag along. I mean, he wanted to have a relationship with these guys. He wasn't looking for a group of guys to be part of his fan club. He wasn't looking for bros, just to hang out with. Jesus was calling these men to live their lives with him, to learn from him, and to emulate him. That they were to go with him wherever he went, do whatever he did, experience whatever he experienced. Jesus was their rabbi, teacher, and they were his disciples. The word disciples just simply means students. They were his students. And as their teacher, Jesus was preparing them to carry on his ministry after he was going to leave, after he was going to ascend back to the Father. And this meant seeing some incredible things that these 12 were able to experience. Blind eyes opened, deaf ears unstopped, mute tongues speaking, the crippled walking and leaping, lepers healed, demons driven out, storms quelled, food multiplied, the dead raised, and much, much more. In fact, not only were they going to experience what Jesus experienced, but they would also have to experience the same hardships that Jesus experienced as well. If you want to turn your Bible over to John chapter 15, I'm going to read this passage here, or you can just follow with me on the screen. In John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, this is just shortly before Jesus goes to the cross. He's got his disciples together. They've already had the Last Supper. They've been together. And so he speaks to his disciples, and he kind of gives them this warning, I suppose, you might call it that. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Now, along with Jesus, the apostles would be ridiculed and harassed and ultimately suffer greatly at the hands of those who reject their Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ. Now, these 12, because of Jesus, just truly became Jesus' closest friends. They were his closest companions of anybody else on earth. He was with them day and night for 3 years, preparing them for the greatest mission of mankind, to save the world. And during those 3 years, there are going to be ups and downs. There were ups and downs. Personalities clashed. Arguments surfaced. Faith wavered. Fear intensified. One denied the Lord and came back. Another betrayed Jesus and took his own life. But in the end, the church was established by these very men, except for Judas, bringing forth disciples, followers of Christ by the millions that is still here today, and by the millions to turn the world upside down. But then secondly, Mark goes on to say that not only were they to be with him, but secondly, they were to be sent. To be sent. Now, the Greek word for apostle is apostolos. And it means to one who is sent out. That's what the word means. It means to be sent out. And the term can very well refer to a messenger, an ambassador. It could be messengers that are sent out by the church to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people in foreign lands. As we have with, Corey and Nikki Shields, who were, part of this church at one time, and now they live in Tennessee. But they served, I think, 10 years or so in Japan, I believe, and this church sent them out on that mission trip. They are our Timothys. Now, there were also other men, apart from the 12, who were referred to as apostles. I want us to take a look at them. They were Matthias, Acts chapter 1. Verses 23 through 26, he was the one who was chosen by God to take the place of Judas, okay? You read that again in Acts chapter 1. There was, of course, Saul of Tarsus, who later became, we know as Paul, was chosen by Jesus Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles, Acts 9, 15 and 16, Romans 11, verse 13. There was also a missionary buddy of the Apostle Paul named Barnabas. Barnabas, again, was with Paul as a missionary. They were sent out by the church, Acts 14, verse 14. He was referred to as an apostle. Another one is James, the brother of Jesus. Galatians 1, 18 and 19, there is some debate about the sentence construction there as to whether or not James is also listed as an apostle there. And then there are two people that we haven't even heard about named Andronicus and Junius, were also referred to as apostles by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Okay, so these that we know of in the New Testament are all have the title apostles, okay? Now again, other than the 12, Matthias and Paul, who were all divinely chosen by God, they were divinely chosen. The others were apostles in a generic sense, and that they were sent out by the church to preach the gospel wherever they went, okay? So there is a difference. You may see this word that's used generically, or it's used as a chosen person, been divinely chosen by God. So along with the title and appointment as apostles given to the 12, Matthias and Paul, also came divine authority. Divine authority that no one else had, okay? No one else. They were given authority to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, not just the indwelling that we receive when we are obedient to Christ, but to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to speak the words of God yet unwritten. They hadn't been written yet. But God inspired them to speak the word of God, to perform many miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. They were also given authority to cast out demons, you know, highlighting their mission to confront evil and provide the freedom that Jesus gives to those, you know, who are influenced by Satan and his demons. They were given authority to establish the church of Jesus Christ, not merely plant churches. You know, missionaries plant churches. I was a team in Czechoslovakia back in 1992 that we planted a church while we were there in Czechoslovakia, now known as the Slovak Republic. But yet these people, these apostles were given the authority to establish the church, as they did on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 2. They were also given authority to speak on spiritual matters within the church, calling the church to order, instructing the church how to live, exercising church discipline, and so forth. No other disciple of Christ was given the same divine authority as was given to these men, all right? No other disciple of Christ. And so then they were sent out. But thirdly, what we see here and understand is that Mark says that they were sent out to preach, okay? Sent out to preach. Now, I want you to understand that not a single one of the 12 was a professional speaker or professional orator. Again, they were just ordinary men. At least four of them were fishermen, you know, who were certainly not known for their, you know, for their speaking or persuasion abilities, you know. In fact, they were often brash and unrefined. One was a tax collector who was disliked and shunned by most Jews because they considered them as traitors, you know, for working for the Roman government and even cheating their own countrymen. Another one was a freedom fighter, a zealot, known for rebelling against the Roman government. So imagine what Simon thought when he found out that one of Jesus' followers is a tax collector. These zealots hated these tax collectors. And I can imagine Matthew slept with one eye open just in case Simon the zealot would venture over to his bunk at night and slit his throat, okay? Because, man, that's what they were known for. But none of these men had a formal theological education, and now Jesus wants to send them out preaching. Just send them out preaching. But this is why it is so amazing that Jesus chose the 12 to be, these 12 to be his messengers and ambassadors of Almighty God. That's what is amazing about it. That's why the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, were dumbfounded at the kind of men that Jesus, this self-proclaimed rabbi, surrounded himself with. You know, they couldn't imagine, why would Jesus choose, you know, this band of men? Why would they choose them? I mean, can you imagine President Trump assembling his cabinet together to discuss who he should send as an ambassador to China? And then one of the members, you know, pipes up and says, I know just the man, Frank the garbage man. I just saw his truck going down Pennsylvania Avenue. Do you want me to go get him? I mean, I don't think that Frank the garbage man would have much of a chance to be an ambassador to China, do you? Well, it is President Trump, so who knows for sure, okay? But yet Jesus went to the streets and docks and picked out the strangest crew ever to be sent out on a mission to change the world. Friends, God has always used normal, everyday, down-to-earth, undistinguished people to carry out his purpose for this world. In fact, I want you to listen to what Paul says as he writes to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and this is what he says to these Christians at Corinth. He said, "Brothers, think of what you were before you were called, before you became a Christian. Think of what you were. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are." Why? "So that no one may boast before him." So that no one will boast before him. Friends, God uses the foolish, the weak, the lowly, and the despised to accomplish his purpose. And aren't you glad that God uses people like this? Because that means he can use us. Amen? He can use us. So what I want you to do now, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, a few months after the establishment of the church, the Sanhedrin Council, the very council that had Jesus crucified, the Sanhedrin Council seized Peter and John while they were preaching to a crowd of people after Peter had healed a crippled man, and they put these apostles in jail. Verses 1 through 3. The next day, as Peter and John stood before the council in verses 8 and 9, Peter told them that if they were arrested for showing kindness to a crippled man, then they and all of Israel need to know why this man is now able to walk. And so he tells them very boldly in verse 10, Peter said, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you counsel has crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." But I want you to focus on verse 13. It's verse 13 I want to call your attention to. And I want you to listen to what is said in verse 13. It says, "And when they," the council, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were what? Astonished. And they took note of these men that they had been with Jesus. Why were these uneducated, ordinary men able to preach God's words boldly? Because they had been with Jesus. That's why. I mean, these unrefined, uncultured, uneducated, smelly fishermen were, you know, that were transformed into these mighty spokesmen for God, all because they had what? They had been with Jesus. Amen? But then finally, Mark says that they will be sent to serve. That they will be sent to serve. Now, although Mark specifically mentions casting out demons here, the ministry of the 12 went far beyond that. In fact, Matthew adds they were able to cast out demons and to heal every disease and sickness. Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus taught the 12 how important it was to serve others. I mean, that's another reason why this church is left on this earth. Not only for us to reach out and bring souls to Jesus, but we are left here, this church is here, to be a service to people out of the world. And in Matthew chapter 20, when the mother of James and John came to Jesus asking if he would allow her sons to sit on his right and on his left in his kingdom, which angered the other apostles because they wanted those positions of honor for themselves, it's recorded here in Matthew 20, verses 26 and 28, that Jesus said to them, he said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your what? Your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your what? Slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Everywhere Jesus and his apostles went preaching God's word, they came upon hurting people. Hurting people. People who needed to be loved. People who needed to be served. And just like Jesus, the apostles were given the power through the Holy Spirit to perform miracles of healing and to cast out demons. And throughout the book of Acts, I mean, we see the 12, along with the Apostle Paul, doing just that, serving, hurting people. Wherever they went out to proclaim God's word, they came across people and they served hurting people. And of course, the ministry of serving others continues even to this day. I know we have a room full of servants. We have a room full of servants. And even though we don't have the power to perform miracles as did Jesus and the apostles, we can still impact the lives of people who are hurting. Again, Jesus tells his disciples, or really he tells the multitude that gathered on the mountainside, and in Matthew 5, verse 16, he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds, your acts of service, and praise your Father in heaven. Friends, Christianity is manifested by our good works. It's by loving others, Jesus said, that people know that we are his disciples. By serving others, we let people see Jesus in us. I mean, you know, we need to understand that by serving others, we reflect the light of Christ and we shine brightly in this dark world. The choosing of the 12 nobodies to be his apostles sent out to bring salvation to the world tells us that we do not have to be extraordinary to serve the lost people in the world. We don't have to be extraordinary. We can be quite ordinary, even a nobody. And our life and service for Jesus will count for all eternity. Not because we are great, not because we are exceptional in all that we do. It's all because we have been with Jesus. Say that with me. We have been with Jesus, and we are willing to be served and to serve others. For the next few weeks, as we study the life of each of the 12 apostles, we will learn even more of how God uses ordinary people to impact the lives of others. Never think that God cannot use somebody like you. And if God can use blockheads to change the world, then He can certainly use you and me, despite our failures, our faults, our frailties, to change our neighborhood. Don't you think that God can use us? So here's the question, is simply as this: are you allowing God to use you? Because really, that's what it's about. We're going to be, again, studying about the 12 apostles. I'm glad we're doing this study. I'm already got sermons ahead. I'm working on sermons already. Next week when we talk about Simon Peter. I'm looking at these things here. But we learned so much of Jesus choosing these men specifically, personally, to change the course of human history. I mean, I find that so amazing. And it's because God wants us to know that no matter who you are, no matter what your past is, even no matter what your struggle with sin is right now, God can use you in His kingdom to serve and to make such an impact on the lives of others that God can use us. And we should never think that God can't use somebody like me, because next week, as we talk about Simon Peter, wow. Man, as we look at his life and all the things that he has done and all that stuff like that, we're going to be amazed and say, yeah, if God can use that guy, then he can certainly use me. We're going to be singing this invitation song. The invitation song, as always, is just something that we do within our churches to help us to reflect on our own life, not to reflect on everybody else. Boy, so-and-so, they sure need this sermon, or they need that, or they sure need to change their lives. No, it's to reflect on ourselves, to see what it is that God may be saying to us. What does God want us to know? What does God want us to change? What does He want us to do to become more like His Son Jesus? Because really, that's what we're going to see, this transformation with the apostles. I mean, taking these men from where they were and then seeing the transformation in their lives, all because they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And Jesus can still make those changes in our hearts today, can't He? He can still make those changes today if we want to be changed, if we want to grow, if we want to become more like Jesus. Christ can make those changes. So as we sing this song today, if there's anything that we can do to help you with today, to pray with you, if you want to know, if you haven't yet given your life to Christ and you want to know more about what that means to give your life to Jesus, please come talk to me, okay? Come talk to me. But whatever the need might be, whatever the struggle you might be going through, however you are might be hurting, we want to lift you up in prayer today as together we stand and we sing.